Time is almost 8:07. Bit of a chilly start here in central Wisconsin. Mostly cloudy skies, 19 degrees at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:20, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Berlow. Going to talk about how much snow we can expect when it starts up a little bit later on here on this Thursday and goes into early Friday. We'll talk to Brittany coming up at 8:20. And then at 8:34, it's our new weekly series, North Star Knows, as we are joined by North Star Restoration Services. And today, as we get closer and closer to spring, we are in spring, even though the snow is coming. We're going to talk about some categories of water damage and what to look for during this time of year. So that's North Star Knows coming up at 8:34 this morning here on the program. Real quickly, we'll say good morning to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with Ian coming up in just a few minutes, but first, here on this Thursday morning, very happy to welcome back to the program the host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, first of all, again, thanks for sticking around and joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Chad. Good morning.
Good morning. It's going to be a little bit of a different kind of topic because this week, something that caught my attention. Number one, I'm glad I tore you away from that Dodger-Padre game that is going on right now in South Korea. Eighth inning, 12-9. Padres over the Dodgers in the second game of the regular season of Major League Baseball here on the 21st of March. But yesterday, there was a major story that came out of South Korea that Shohei Ohtani, the superstar, probably the biggest name in Major League Baseball, and he's had this longtime interpreter. And the interpreter was fired by the Dodgers because apparently he had taken some money from Ohtani and a bank account, millions of dollars, in fact, for gambling losses, illegal gambling losses. But earlier this week as well, I saw this interview with a former member of the front office of the Jacksonville Jaguars who stole money from that team for gambling debts in multi-millions of dollars as well. And I was just curious because, you follow baseball and sports, and we see a lot of networks. We see ESPN have what's called ESPN Bet. On Sundays, mm-hmm. You can win Terry Bradshaw's money with Fox Sports on the football season. I know that when you were a state legislator, I don't know if gambling had been much of an issue at that point, but I was just curious. When you see gambling becoming easier and easier, we talk about lotteries all the time. What's your take on that? Because I think some issues that are very easy to say left and right. This is an issue that I think is kind of a one that is bubbling over, that we're going to see a lot more folks that are getting involved in gambling because it's becoming so much easier. You're going to see, I think, maybe some – I think it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when we're going to see a major point-shaving scandal with all this money out there in gambling. I guess what's your take on the proliferation of gambling and making it a lot easier?
Well, first off, I want to agree with your last point. It's really just a matter of time until there's some kind of a point-shaving scandal involving sports. But to take a step back here, the parallel that I would draw is to the news business. And I say that purposefully, news business, that you now have something called infotainment, where, again, you try to spice up the news, you try to get a few more eyeballs, you try to get a few more subscribers, you engage in clickbait or sweeps month stunts or things like that. And it, of course, it tarnishes the base product, the journalism that is supposed to be covering the serious issues. Sports, similarly, is going through that now by putting that layer of betting over the top of it, that the game itself is not exciting enough, it's not entertaining enough, and so we have to put that layer over. And it's not that everybody agrees that that's the right thing to do, but when you see all of your other competitors doing it, you can't not do it. Basically, you're you know, slitting your own throat, you know, from a financial perspective. So you have to get involved. And my view has always been, and it did not come up much in the legislature, you know, in the late 2000s there, prior to 2010, because back then there was still that mindset of, this is not a great combination. I mean, you can maybe have it in Vegas and maybe one or two other places, but I mean, it really took off over the past, you know, 6-7 years or so. And while I may not be the kind of person that would try to stand in front of that freight train and say, no, you can't do this, what I find myself saying is, well, I hope it works out for you. I mean, good luck with that. I've never bet on sports, never planned to. A lot of people's lives are going to be ruined. As a news anchor for many years, I always had one or two stories a year of some small business that had to go out of business because of gambling debts, because of embezzlement. Maybe a secretary or a business partner, you know, cleaned out the bank accounts and left a lot of victims in its wake. So gambling is, of course, a very real problem. It's just that it's going to be tough to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And so you've got to constantly have those disclaimers and warnings about, you know, not betting more than you can afford. But I do think it's even more serious. Like you said, I think it's only a matter of time until an athlete or a coach or a manager is found to, you know, basically be, you know, throwing games as a result.
And also the aspect of government being involved in it, because they look at it, I think, just like a lot of the major sports leagues, as a source of revenue. We've seen it where states are involved in some form of gambling, whether, you know, it's
mutual betting, exactly. The dog tracks, right.
And then there has to be a responsibility, though, I would think, for the state as well, because, again, as it becomes more and more easy to do, and I'm going to say right out, I enjoy playing poker. In fact, I go to Vegas every summer, and I play in the World Series. In fact, I have not played since last summer. In fact, this weekend I'm going to play for the first time, but it's not easy because I have to go to, I'm going to Minnesota to play in some poker tournaments, and I like the fact it's not easy. I don't want it to be too easy, but the state is involved. Is there, how much of a responsibility then does the state have if, say, you know, somebody gets involved over their head? Because, again, you can't, I don't think you can be, well, hands off completely. I guess what should the state's role be with gambling?
I guess, and I'm very open to changing my mind on this, but I do see it as rather binary, that a state government is either saying, we're not doing this, we're just not doing this in this state, we're not allowing gambling, or they're saying, okay, well, gambling's in, but we're not going to micromanage how you gamble, but just be aware that there's going to be, you know, repercussions. There's going to be increased crime, not only through embezzlement, but, you know, through other things that you bring in. And you look at, for example, Wisconsin is an island when it comes to legalizing marijuana. Now, every state around us has legalized it to some degree. Wisconsin has said, well, the Republicans running the legislature has said, no, we're just not going to allow it here. And some people think that is the right way to go. And other people say, no, that's that, you know, government shouldn't be blocking us. We should be allowed to do this thing. My view is that once a state government says, okay, we're going to do this thing, you try to set some fair rules of the road. But really, you also just have to, much like when Wisconsin approved, you know, having a lottery with Powerball and everything, there was all these requirements for disclaimers that had to be out there. And granted, a lot of people don't hear them, but if you didn't legislate them, they wouldn't be out there at all warning people, hey, you could lose your shirt.
Another topic I wanted to I wanted to talk to you about in the last few minutes is I think it's going to be very interesting to watch Eric Hovde's campaign as it progresses. I think just as a political science experiment, because I just think that this has the potential of being very interesting in some entertaining ways.
I was going to say, you said how the campaign progresses, not regresses, because they seem to have gone backwards.
Yeah, I'm being nice here on this Thursday.
I know.
But I get home, and you know, sometimes it's a little bit later, and what I like to do is I'll make my dinner. And are you familiar with Pluto TV by any chance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I watch Pluto TV, and I like to watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel. And this week, I have got home, and I've been making my dinner, and I'm watching MST3K, and I've seen a whole lot of Eric Hovde commercials on Pluto TV. I just find it very interesting. Now he's got one where, you know, he's announcing that he's going to give his money back to charity, and he's got these folks there cheering him on like he's, you know, it was just odd. I just found that, you know, hey, Eric, giving away the money. And then he got his wife. But I've been seeing these a lot.
Yes.
I know you've run campaigns, you've been around politics for a long time. I just find the way that he's going about this so incredibly entertaining so far. What about you?
Well, here's the thing. The commercials, the barrage of commercials that you've seen recently, they actually weren't aired. They weren't aiming at you. They weren't aimed at me or any other voter. What it did was it sent a message to Scott Mayer, this businessman in suburban Milwaukee, and David Clark and anybody else. It sent the message of, look at all the money I have. If I can blow this much on TV ads now, what do you think it's going to be like if you try to run against me? It was a primary avoidance program that he ran those ads. So that's the first thing to keep in mind, is why he was running those ads. In terms of the content of the ads, again, they will probably be forgotten by the time November comes around, but I do not, and I'm trying to say this as objectively as I can, but I do not give them high marks for things like, I'm gonna reject a salary if you elect me. Because a lot of people are going to hear that and go, well, wait a minute. If you don't need this money, if you're that rich, how do I know you're going to be on my side? And as far as the other one, again, having his wife in there, it would be news if his wife ran a commercial saying, please don't vote for my husband. It's really just a matter of, again, piling up advertising to say, look, I'm going to be the guy. Everybody else stay out.
And I guess finally, I just find it incredibly cynical to think that he is basically saying that the only people that would be above being bought off are rich people. It's incredible. Hey, Pat, thanks again for sticking around. Pat Kreitlow, 6 till 8 a.m. Up North News every weekday morning here on Bow Falls Radio. Okay, Pat, have a great weekend.
You too.
That's Pat Kreitlow. We're going to talk about the weather because we're expecting some significant snow coming up. Brittany Merlot is coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Good. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:21. As I take a peek over my right shoulder, mostly cloudy it appears here in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 19 degrees is the temperature, but no wind chill, a very calm start, but things are going to start to get a little bit more hairy as we get into tonight and into early tomorrow. The first of what Brittany Merlot has said will be multiple snow events coming to our area in the next couple of weeks. And very happy to welcome back to the program the person that knows it all when it comes to the weather, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Probably the most hated person across the state today and tomorrow.
I think by this point, and again, I know that, and I don't know if it's still the same, where weather folks and meteorologists get blamed for the weather. Have people still do that?
Oh, 100% they still do it. Especially if you see me out at a grocery store, I get the, is this really going to happen?
Well, the thing about it is, we've talked about this, we haven't seen too many snow events during the course of this past winter. Very few, in fact, very few times where you're going to work in the morning, you've had to deal with some significant snow. And this one, the timing looks like tomorrow morning, when people go into work, they're going to have to deal with some rather heavy snow, aren't they?
Yes, the timing of this one is not ideal. The heaviest of the snow, the bigger accumulations, will be falling from about 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. So a lot of people leave earlier than that, and they start at 7 or even 8 o'clock, and you're going to be driving in that mess alongside the plows that are working their butts off to keep it safe for us. So they've got a long shift ahead of them, and it doesn't stop there, because by Sunday, another big snowstorm hits us, and that one wants to hit us in the northwest and central areas much harder than the first one. So first things first, right? Today, prep, okay? Make sure you have the winter weather emergency kit in your car, have the snow scraper nearby, the shovel, the snowblower, make sure it's good to go. Because yes, overnight as we go to bed, we could see a few flurries flying after 10 or 11 o'clock tonight. That's not going to be the big accumulations, not until early tomorrow morning. And we are looking at anywhere from 2 to 5 inches here in Tawassa. We could see locally higher amounts the further south that you live. But the heaviest hitting, where it could near double digits, is well into Madison and Milwaukee. So we're going to avoid all of that.
And also, I again, maybe if I correct me if I'm wrong, but that some of this snow is going to be that heavier kind of snow where if you're out there shoveling, it's stressful. And again, we haven't had to deal with a lot of that so far this winter. Is it going to be that heavy snow that really is, for lack of a better term, a pain in the butt to remove?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. It's going to be that slushy, sloppy, heavy, wet one. And yes, 4 inches is going to be feeling worse than our past few storms, because those have been the light, fluffy, blowing around, drifting kind. Now this one's going to be a little rough. So take breaks while you're shoveling, especially if you're not out there fit every single day, right? If you're just more a stay at home, watch TV kind of person, and you're going out there shoveling, take those breaks. It's cold. You're not going to feel too hot or sweaty, but you could be overexerting yourself, and you don't want to push yourself to go to the hospital.
Am I to, you said 2 to 5. Am I to say that more likely in the will be at the higher level of that, just based on what I've heard from you and others?
I'm going to go with a higher level of that, yes. But that could also be my hopes if I just want more snow, to be honest with you, because a new model run came out this morning, and it's the one that's pretty accurate. It does really close-term forecasting, and that even wanted to slide the higher snow totals to the Illinois border. So if that keeps sliding south, then our totals could be closer and closer to the 2. But this has been a rough storm, I'll tell you that much for forecasters. That big, heavy band of heaviest snow, it's been moving all across the state every day.
And you also said that the second wave coming up later in the weekend could be heavier than that. Is that the expectation, at least at this point, as you look at your models?
Yes, for us, 100%. It looks like Madison, Milwaukee, who's been getting all of the snow all year, is going to see a lot more rain as the temperatures are going to be into the 40s. And here for us, we'll stay right around that freezing mark, aka the heaviest snow band, where that one will accumulate quite a bit on Sunday before it flips to a wintry mix by Monday morning, and then to all regular rain throughout Monday potentially. So that one's going to be a mess.
It will just keep you nice and busy for the weekend. That's
yes, sure will.
Okay, so let's talk about the details. What are the details here, especially as we get the snow coming later on this evening?
Yes, absolutely. So right now it's 19 degrees, a few clouds out there. The clouds will start to thicken, building in, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. We are looking at the snow chances mainly pushing in after midnight, becoming really heavy at 3 a.m. till about 7 a.m. And we are looking at 2 to 4 inches, potentially 5 in some places. And this will be hitting the hardest early in the morning. Again, this will push out by the afternoon. The winter weather advisory expires at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and it should be gone after that. We will sit there pretty on Saturday under sunshine, but temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark. So any of that snow that you didn't clear will probably be ice and frozen. So get that out of there as soon as you can, because by Sunday, potentially even overnight Saturday, we could see that next snowstorm already moving in. As our temperatures are hovering around that freezing mark, we should get a heavy hit of some snowfall Sunday before it flips over on Monday.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, hopefully tomorrow won't be too hard to get here to work for me, and we'll talk to you then.
Oh, goodness.
I'm already biting my nails about tomorrow. So, but no, thank you for the information. Have a great rest of your day. We will talk as we're hopefully near the end of that snow tomorrow morning.
Yes, we will. Be safe, everyone, and have a good day.
Absolutely. Brittany Merlot joins us every weekday morning at 8:20 here on the program. Right now, again, mostly cloudy skies, 19 degrees here in downtown Wausau. The winds are calm, dew point of 7, relative humidity of 59%, the barometer at 30.27 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. There is a winter weather advisory that will go into effect at 1 a.m. early Friday morning, so late tonight, 1 a.m. until 1 p.m. tomorrow, with snow expected basically anywhere within the sound of my voice. Pretty much almost all of the state of Wisconsin, a few counties way up north, not part of it, but again, a winter weather advisory in effect from 1 a.m. until 1 p.m. Friday. Total snow accumulations, again, between 2 and 5 inches expected in portions of central, north central, and northeast Wisconsin. Plan on slippery road conditions, and the hazardous conditions will impact the Friday morning commute. And we'll, of course, keep you up to speed on what to expect weather-wise throughout the course of the day and the night here on Bow Falls Radio. Coming up next, it will be an information update, news, weather, and sports. And then right after that, it's our weekly Thursday feature, North Star Knows, with North Star Restoration Services. And we will be talking about water damage and some of the issues involved around that coming up here this morning. The time is 8:29. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thursday morning, 8:34, that means it's time again for North Star Knows. As every Thursday at this time, we have North Star Restoration Services joining us to talk about different ways that we can help you in terms of issues that you may see with your home, but so many different ways to look at different problems you may have and give you information that you can use, especially this time of year. And once again, very happy to welcome back John Garcia. John, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
And today, we don't have Jay Cricks.
No, we don't.
We have somebody else from North Star.
Correct. And
could you maybe make the introduction?
Yeah, so Josh. Today we have Josh Norton. He's our mitigation division manager over at North Star Restoration Services. So he handles a lot of the water losses that come in, some of the mold losses that we get. He's very, very skilled in his division. He's a triple master through the IRCRC. So he's very declarated when it comes to that division.
Triple master. That sounds impressive right off the top. What are the topics we're going to be talking about today?
So last week we were talking about sump pump maintenance, mm-hmm. and this week what we're going to talk about is Josh is going to talk about basically if you have an uncovered loss in your home, and then also the categories of a water loss. So there's different types of categories when different things fail inside your house and cause damage. And then on the flip side, the other half of it, we're going to talk about a little bit of spring renovations that are going to be coming up and touch base on that.
Is this the time of year where water damage is the most prevalent for you guys that you have to deal with?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Right now, usually you run into a lot of that stuff when all the thaw starts occurring.
And also something you mentioned, we're going to be talking about again, that just as as a layperson, when you talk about uncovered, that again, we were talking a little bit about that last week. Again, I think that'll be very, very interesting. So again, every week we talk to North Star Restoration, and very happy to bring you that every Thursday starting at 8:34. But we'll start here with Josh Norton. Non-covered water damage. Again, I think that brings a chill to a lot of folks. Where do we start with all this?
So generally with non-covered water losses, where that falls in is if you have a sump pump in the home,
mm-hmm.
And it fails. Sometimes, like, insurance doesn't inform you sometimes that you need a backup rider for those types of things. And if you don't have a backup rider, those things can cost upwards of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 when you have a finished basement. So having that backup rider is kind of a big deal.
And the thing about that, and I think I kind of thought about this last week as well, is and again, not to say that the insurance companies are out to get you or anything like that, but they certainly aren't going to say, I know you meant to be covered on this. You meant to, and we're going to be nice about it. No, if it's not there, they're not going to cover it, are mm-hmm. they? Yeah, I mean, and that's why it's so very important to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed when it comes to something like this.
Yeah. You definitely want to follow up with your agent. Like Jay had mentioned last week, you want to make sure you're asking those questions about whether you have the backup rider. Those backup riders are separate coverages that can fall under $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. Sometimes you even run into $25,000 worth of coverage. So making sure you ask all the right questions with your insurance agent,
mm-hmm.
it's very important to do your due diligence and make sure you check into those things.
What are the things that you really need to be thinking about? I mean, and maybe the certain types of damage that would fall under that umbrella. And that's a bad way of putting it, with the umbrella covering up the water. But
yep.
What are the, I guess, as somebody who would be a homeowner, that would be very important in terms of making sure that this doesn't slide on by and that leaves you with a big bill?
Yeah. The things that those generally fall under are a sump pump failure, if you have a sump crock in your basement and that the $100 pump that's in there fails. That's one thing that it falls under, or if you have a sewer backup.
Mm.
So if you have the unfortunate event where sewer backs up into your home and then you have to have that remediated, those are the things that falls under.
When you are dealing with such issues, and I've said this before you went on the air, I'm somebody that really knows very little about all this stuff. I'm one of those people that would just probably fall between those cracks. For somebody like myself that, before we get to a major problem, knowing that this time of year is a time where some of these issues could come up, what is the maybe a checklist of a few things that I should be thinking about before the problems occur?
For your sump pump portion, you want to make sure your sump pump works. You can go down and sometimes, like they mentioned last week, you have a crock and then it has a lid on it. You can take the lid off, check the float. You can push on the float and it'll usually engage the pump. And if it starts sucking water out, then your pump is fine. If you have a backup, then you could possibly have to check the backup too, because those are batteries, and you can check the voltage of the batteries to make sure those are working. There's also things you could put down. They have those moisture sensors you can put down that are linked to phones.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of customers who have saved a lot of money for them because they were able to catch on it right away. I mean, majority of the time this happens is when you're sleeping anyway, or when you're at work. So those times happen.
There are different categories of water damage.
Yes.
So maybe could we kind of delve into that, because obviously there are, different levels. What are the different categories of water damage?
So to stick with like the sump pumps, that type of water that comes into the house is generally going to be around a category 2, category 3. Category 3 is a pretty much black water. It's sewage. It is all the things that have contaminants in it that are harmful to a human being. Category 2 is significantly contaminated. That can be outdoor water, to where it comes in through your sump pump crock, because it's going down and pulling in all the anything that's in the soil, comes down through the sump pump pit and then comes up into the basement. Your category 1 is your clean water. Now that can be anything from a break in the home to a supply line, like your toilet, your washing machine, your sinks, anything like that. Those are considered category 1 clean waters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't think about it though, in the aspect that when you have a clean water and it hits the floor, it's not clean anymore. So insurance uses the clean water term, but once it hits the floor and it gathers those contaminants, you can't consider it clean water anymore, and you have to treat it as a category two, which would be significantly contaminated, because I'd like to think everybody cleans their houses very well. I know we try, but kids run into that. So
I got to say, I probably don't fall in that category. but no, that's actually very interesting, the whole definition of what clean water would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's why I probably need the experts to give you the information, because a lot that you would consider maybe commonsensical really isn't.
Yeah. When you're explaining it to a homeowner, you fall under the category one, it turns into the cat two. You want to start explaining the safety, because in homes, when you start doing remediation and you have to remove the water, then you start picking up and drying out the structure, it starts putting contaminants into the air as you dry. Mm. So there's other things you have to do to make sure that those things are being taken care of to protect a homeowner. The majority of the categories, they're put in place just for protection, because it's separating the sources of water, so so you can explain it to a homeowner, and then it gives that elevation of worry to let them know that as it gets to be a more contaminated water, there's more precautions we have to take into place to make sure that we're protecting a homeowner's health.
Again, this is North Star Knows with North Star Restoration Services here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, talking about an understanding non-covered water damage with Josh Norton. He is a master water restorer at North Star Restoration Services. Also, John Garcia here. We'll have more with John coming up a little bit later on in the program. Obviously, you've been around and you've been able to see a lot of examples of different troubles, I would say, for homeowners. What are some of the things that you've seen that maybe were interesting, or maybe that would be good examples of what we're looking at here?
I'm going to go to probably one of the worst ones I've seen.
Okay.
It was in Wausau. It was a home that was at the end of the line on their sewer. And what happened was there was a clog somewhere in the line, and the unfortunate event happened to where all the sewer ended up backing up into their home. And they had a finished basement, and it backed up about 3 feet into the basement.
It's a very, before you continue, the term unfortunate is probably an understatement when you're talking about sewage. The way you said it, I thought, oh, that's put in a very nice and tidy term on something that has to be just a nightmare for a homeowner.
Yeah. Unfortunately for people, it's a first for them, but it's every day for me. That's what I tell them.
Yep. Again, you when you see these issues, how many of these issues they're just going to happen? You know, there's really not a lot you can do. And how many of these issues are, if you do some of the things you've been talking about, you'll be able to avoid the major troubles? I imagine there are a few that, you know, unfortunately, you just get caught, you know, in terms of whether or not, you know, whether it's the actual event itself or maybe something that just falls in an area with your coverage. But I imagine that a lot of what you see is either preventable as the event itself, or especially in terms of making sure that you're covered properly.
Yeah. In preventative maintenance wise, one thing that I forgot to mention was your sewer line going from the home to the street. Mm. The home to the street generally falls under a homeowner's responsibility. One of the things you can do is have a professional come out and clean the lines out, because something that happens in what I see the most for sewer backups is tree roots. Tree roots will grow through PVC. It'll grow through cast iron. We don't see a lot of cast iron anymore. It's just older. But now that it is older, it does penetrate into the cast iron now that it is degraded over the years into the ground. So tree roots are an issue to where they do grow in, and that is a preventative thing that I don't think anyone really thinks of.
That's interesting. Beyond even just that specific, when you, and I imagine that folks at North Star Restoration Services would be more than willing to just have a conversation. I mean, because again, coming back from my less than informed point of view, that just having a conversation would be a good idea to hear about, you know, that being a great example and others being as well. Because, and again, something we've talked about the last couple of weeks generally as we started this this new program is the importance of preventative measures. I mean, it's sort of a similar talk about what we talk about with healthcare. Your house is about making sure that the health of your home and the health of your property is at the level it should be.
Yeah. You can always call us. I mean, I've always taken phone calls and people have had questions like, my sump pump isn't working, I got water in here. And then when I'm in there, usually we end up walking through and going through whatever else they can go over. I usually advise them to get those moisture sensors. And having those in place has saved so many people. But other things that they can walk through, I walk through and walk them and take them through, is letting them know the areas that they would have to look at. You can end up putting the sensors by like your drains and anything like that.
Before we turn our attention to John and the second part of our program today, we got about 90 seconds to go. Is there something that we've missed here within this conversation that we want to make sure to hit on before we take a short break and can come back with John?
When it comes to the preventative measures, I think we've pretty much hit as much as we can for most homeowners. Making sure your sump pumps are working, making sure your drains are cleared out, making sure your sewer line out to the street has been cleared. Those are the primaries that'll really help a customer prevent some damages. But if there's ever anything else that they have questions about, they're always more than welcome to call us.
Fantastic. Again, I got all the sewage in my mind. just thinking about how tough that would be for a homeowner. Again, the preventive aspect, and just, you know, and again, trying to make sure that nothing falls between the cracks when it comes to your coverage. I think that's something, again, that's sort of important to be underlined, because again, there's so many different little things that can lead to a big cost for a homeowner.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, very good. So, again, Josh Norton, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Chad.
We're going to turn our attention to John Garcia coming up next. And, John, what are we going to be talking about again after the very short one-minute break?
We're going to be talking about exterior maintenance and upgrades.
So we'll have that coming up again every Thursday from 8:34 until 9 a.m. It is North Star Knows. We're going to try to inform you and educate you and give you a little bit of information that will help you, number one, keep that home in pristine condition, also save you a lot of money. So we'll come right back. The time is 8:49 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO in on the Civic Media app. And a real quick note that if you've missed our previous installments of North Star Knows, you can go back, go to BowFallsRadio.com, click on shows, click on the Chad Holmes Show, and go back to the last couple of Thursdays, and you can listen to what we've talked about each of the last 2 weeks as well. And if you missed any part of this program as well, you can go back and tune in a little bit later on this morning as well. And right now, again, bringing back in John Garcia, Director of Construction Services at North Star Builds. And John, again, you've been with us each and every week. And your expertise, and again, the North Star Builds aspect of the business, it's really, again, we talked about the business itself, how it's grown. The North Star Builds has been a big focus. How has that been going in terms of for North Star?
It's been very busy. We've been hiring people as often as we can. Carpenters, still looking for more carpenters. We just had an addition actually to our team this week, and she's going to be playing a role with client services. So that's going to be a big improvement as far as communication, customer service. But yeah, it's been steady. We've had a lot of calls, a lot of recent calls for home remodels, exterior remodeling. I just met with a client yesterday for a new construction home in northern Wisconsin. So it's been very busy.
And there's obviously different ways in terms of different areas of the renovation and what you do. Today, are we going to talk about exteriors? Is that what we're
focusing
on? Correct,
yeah. We're going to talk about exterior maintenance a little bit, and then also on the flip side, upgrades. So a couple things when you're coming into spring now, a lot of people want to start thinking about is, for one, the exterior of their house. Mm-hmm. So we went through a long, grueling, not this year, but normally a long, grueling winter.
Right.
And it's time to get outside, get the siding all cleaned up, your soffit and fascia. A lot of siding will start to grow mold and mildew on it. It'll start to oxidize. So making sure that you get out there, clean all the siding off. There's a lot of companies in the area that offer house washing if that's something that you're not able to do, especially if you have like a 2 or 3 story house. But for one, a lot of the manufacturers require that you wash your siding for warranty purposes.
Sure.
So that's something you don't want to miss out on. It also is going to improve your life expectancy of your siding. So making sure that you care for everything on the outside sometimes is hard because we're living on the inside. So sometimes people forget about the exterior of their home.
Timing. It has to be vitally important. As you said, I mean, here in this part of the world when it comes to, you know, the different seasons and deciding the right time to start maybe a major renovation, exterior renovation project. What is the advice that you give in terms of timing for some of these projects?
So I always say if we can get weather of 50 degrees or higher basically in a 24-hour period, meaning that the lows aren't below 50, is kind of the best time to start any of those projects. For one, if you're going to be doing any painting and staining, most paints require the temperature to be 50 degrees, the surface temperature to be 50 degrees or higher for that 24-hour period, so that way everything can cure. So, you know, people may look at the highs and go, oh, it's going to be 50 degrees this week, but that doesn't mean the surface temperature is going to be 50. And also, if the low is going to drop down to, let's say, 40, well, then you're going to be in trouble. So that's something you really need to look at. As far as when you're going into painting and staining, whether it's your deck or the outside of your house, or maybe it's some porch posts that you want to update. So it's pretty important to look at those things.
And I imagine that if you do a project that starts, you know, early spring, as opposed to maybe a project that's done during the midst of summer, where it's, you know, an average day of 75 degrees, that affects the materials you have to buy, correct?
Correct, yeah. Especially if it's going to be warmer, stuff's going to cure quicker. Another thing you have to look at if you're installing anything that's like PVC or vinyl, there's different specs for when the weather is hotter, because those materials are expanded more in the summer when it's hotter than when it's cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you really have to look at, especially for instance, like vinyl shake, which usually you put in a gable for an accent. There's actually manufacturers that have little slots in them to show you where to install based on the temperature. So if it's colder or if it's warmer, they want you to install it a certain way because they're anticipating the expansion and contraction.
And also in terms of making these decisions, I imagine that you've had this experience where you're able to give advice in terms of trying to pick the right time depending on the project. What have you found in your experiences in terms of what are some rather significant projects that probably folks have to deal with?
Yeah, so a lot of times we're trying to get those projects lined up in the fall going into winter for the following spring, summer. So that way everything is planned out. We can get all the material selections done and over with. And then they have an idea of, obviously it depends on when our winter is going to end. Sometimes we have a short winter like this year. Sometimes we have a long winter. So really planning that ahead and kind of getting it dialed in for that certain month, and then as we get closer, we can kind of cherry pick the date depending on what the weather looks like.
Do you find yourself right now in the midst of starting some of these projects?
Yeah, so we're going to be starting a diamond coat siding project here within a few weeks. That's actually an off-grid cabin. We're posting those photos right now on our Facebook page and Instagram, so people can follow along if they want to do that. But speaking of diamond coat siding, so that's a siding that I highly recommend for the exterior of homes. So it's built on LP Smart Side, but Diamond Coat is actually its own face covering, which is done right here in Wausau at Wausau Supply. And it has a 30-year no-fade warranty. It works very well when we have that thaw-freeze cycle. It can withstand hail up to 1 3/4 inches, mm-hmm. which we don't really get that very often around here. Last year we did get a huge hailstorm, which a lot of people suffered from. So that is an exterior wood siding that we're promoting right now, and we're going to be installing that on that off-grid cabin.
Something else that goes by so very quickly, something that we're going to want to be getting the listeners involved in, and I know that you guys want to get questions that from people other than myself. That's something we want to kind of let people know, that every Thursday we're going to be talking to North Star here on North Star Knows, but we really do encourage you to reach out, whether it's to myself, you can send me an email, but you guys can also be reached out to as well.
Yeah, if you want to hop on Facebook or Instagram, you can send us a message on there. We can check those and we can write them down and answer them every Thursday. Also, if you go to northstar-builds.com, we do have a form that you could submit as a customer client. So if you have an upcoming project, you can actually type in your name, your address, a brief description of your project. You can also add a few photos if you want. You can put in a video, and that'll actually send right to our construction management software.
John Garcia, Josh Norton, thank you both for coming in. Again, it goes by so very quickly, but I know you guys have a very busy day coming up. But thanks again for coming in. We'll look forward to another North Star Knows coming up next Thursday.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
That is North Star Knows again every Thursday right here on Bow Falls Radio. An information update is coming up next, and then another hour to go here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.